Gypsy Vampire Slayers from Kansas. Episode 2. The main street of Faith, Kansas is bathed in the tranquility of everyday life. Amidst this peaceful scene, Stephen walks alone. As he strides, the melodies of Styx's Renegade drift out from a passing Ford F-150. On his back is a hiker's backpack full of the gear he just purchased from Elbert's. He gazes up at the water tower, emblazoned with the words, Faith, Kansas, home of the saints.
I ain't no saint.
Stephen turns onto a residential street where the wind dances in the branches of an ancient oak. On the curb outside his foster parents' home, he sees a suitcase. A shape in the doorway. His foster mother, her figure a silhouette of regret. Stephen's eyes drift down to the suitcase, spotting a plate of saran-wrapped cookies on top. In one swift movement, he flings the cookies onto the porch like a frisbee. His foster mother bursts into tears, and his foster father leads her away, the front door closing with a resounding echo. Stephen peers into the suitcase. Clothes, comic books, and an envelope. It contains a Greyhound bus ticket, a $20 bill, and a $10 bill with a hastily written note.
Happy birthday. P.S. Don't come back.
Stephen smiles wryly.
$30? Of course.
Stephen's old life in Faith, Kansas continues to wind down as the mystery of the Gypsy Vampire Slayers from Kansas unfolds. Stephen, suitcase in hand, hiking backpack on his back, makes his way to the town square, settling down in the now deserted gazebo. The sun begins to dip, casting long shadows on the street. Penelope's figure appears from across the street, her Doc Seward soda shop uniform catching the last rays of the day. She sits down next to Stephen, leans in, and places a soft kiss on his lips.
I can't leave today.
It's never going to be a good time to go.
Tonight is the Good Friday service. Dad's playing Peter at the Lord's Supper, and he wants the whole family there. Can you come?
I may get struck by lightning if I go, but okay. For you. But then we leave tomorrow?
Suddenly, Stephen looks over Penelope's shoulder. His face hardens. Penelope follows his gaze, and they both see Elbert Mason storming towards them, shotgun in hand, and his trusty Cairn Terrier hot on his heels. From behind them, the sudden wail of sirens disrupts the evening peace. The town sheriff and Penelope's father, John Vance, pulls up in front of the gazebo.
Hold it, Elbert!
From the passenger side, Miss Snyder emerges, sobbing.
All right, everyone calm down. Elbert, what are you doing here? Who else did you call?
Well, tell him, Barb.
Miss Snyder merely sobs in response. Sheriff Vance turns his attention to Stephen.
Yes or no? Did you steal money from the church?
Without a word, Stephen flings the contents of his envelope to the ground.
Here's 30 bucks, 10 more than I stole.
Sheriff Vance picks up the money and hands it to the sobbing Miss Snyder. Then he addresses Stephen.
Well, we also have some destruction of property, but I imagine a bit of woodworking will take care of that, son.
I'm not your son.
Look,
I didn't mean anything by it.
That's right, son.
Steven swings at Elbert, but Sheriff Vance swiftly moves Elbert out of the way and counters with a punch to the gut and leaves Steven gasping for breath on the ground.
Dad!
Penelope shouts at her father.
Now get up. Today's your 18th birthday, so you're a man. And that entitles you to a cozy cell for robbery, destruction of property, and assault.
Steven gets to his feet, catching his breath.
Or you can be my understudy at the Good Friday pageant this evening. It's your choice, sir.
Sheriff Vance winks at the dumbfounded Steven.
Ever fancied yourself as an actor?
And so, the show must go on. In this tale of the Gypsy Vampire Slayers from Kansas.